We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I preached this message last Sunday, and when I preached it in Richmond, Sharon said, "You've got to preach this message next Sunday at Wave." Now, Sharon has never said that to me. That's not to say that she hasn't ever liked any of my other messages. I just realized how that sounded. But she goes, honestly, it's just a word in season for us. And so I want to preach to you a message that probably I preached, I don't know how many years ago here, but I feel it's so poignant. I feel like it's so in season. And let me tell you, I just want to say that right now we need dreamers. And we need people who've got the courage to dream, who dare to dream. Matter of fact, if you'll permit me, I don't want to sound like I'm over bragging on Toby, but he came to me in 2008 and said to me, "I've got this vision," which is what a dream is, a dream and vision. He goes, "To start at my own, you know, private mortgage company, and I really believe I can be a great blessing to the kingdom of God, and I believe I can start a great company." And I said, "Well, all I know is if you can be successful in 2008, do you remember this? If you can be successful in 2008, which is the global financial crisis, you could actually handle anything." And of course, you all heard the testimony of what happened. Here's what he did. He sent me this award, this recognition, saying, "Because of being in the church and because of hearing about vision and daring to dream a dream, you gave me the courage, you inspired me to do it." If you don't know what your dream is, can I tell you, one of the greatest things you can do is get around dreamers. And I believe this church reeks, oozes dreams and vision. And if you don't know what your dream is, can I tell you the best thing to do is be in a dreaming or a visionary environment. How many thank God Wave Church has got a great dream in Jesus' name? Amen. So here we go. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read in verse, no, you are not doing that to me. Praise the Lord. That's not enough time on the clock. I was talking about all that other stuff. All right. Genesis 30. I'm just warning them so the band doesn't come up halfway through my message. Genesis 37 and verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Can I tell you, parents, the first thing you got to know, it's a mistake to favor one child over another. Because Joseph, the Bible says, his father favored this one young boy called Joseph. He gave Joseph a coat of many colors. He gave his other sons coats, but not quite as good or as glamorous as this coat. It is a mistake to favor one child over the others. Now, our children have all believed that Sharon and I have favored one of the kids, but to their error, we've not done that. It is offensive to us. It's usually out of their own emotional guilt, manipulation, and guilt that they try to convince us of that. But I gotta tell you, I love our children absolutely the same. Some have needed more discipline than others, and therefore have been left to believe that they are less loved. But let me just say this. Because the dad did love this boy more than the others, it set him up for jealousy. It set him up for hatred. But the Bible says God gave Joseph a dream. And the dream is that one day, the fulfillment of the dream, as we read to the end of the story, is that he will become a very powerful leader, second only to Pharaoh in what was then the known world. And God gave Joseph this dream, but the problem was Joseph's proving he's not yet leadership material because he goes around telling everybody his dream. So for instance, he says to his brothers one day, "Hey brothers, guess what? I had this dream that you had your harvest and I had my harvest, which is a sign of wealth and success and fruitfulness. And my harvest grew taller, straighter, healthier, bigger than yours." And then something really cool happened. Yours started bowing down and worshiping mine. And he couldn't figure out why his brothers weren't excited. Then he had another dream. And now remember, dad's already given him the coat of many colors. Okay, and then he says, "I had another dream. Guess what this one was? The sun and the moon and the stars are all gonna bow and worship me. I will be one of the most powerful, influential people world. Now read that verse one more time. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and it was told to his brothers. They hated him all the more. So Joseph is proving to me that he's not yet leadership material by going around telling everybody about his dream. So God's going to have to put Joseph through some things that's going to have to teach Joseph to go from not just loving God, but to trusting God. Are you hearing me? And I have no doubt that Joseph did not love God, but Joseph was lacking wisdom by going, even his own father said, "Who do you think you are that I would come and bow down to you? Come on, man, pull your head in. Check yourself, get a grip." And let me tell you three things that tried to steal Joseph's dream. And let me tell you, in this season, more than ever, with COVID and all the, you know, the dilemma of the debate and the controversy over the vaccine and who's going to get a vaccine, who's not going to get a vaccine, let's see if it works, and is it politically motivated, is it scientific, was it rushed? And then, of course, all the season of, you know, shutting down and all the, you know, you just turn on the news, and I don't care what news channel you turn on, it doesn't matter. It's always doom and gloom and negativity and controversy. And I just want to say to you, we need some dreamers. We need some people who can get above the fray. We need some people who will have a dream in their lives. And the first thing that will try to steal your dream and will try and steal mine, sure tried to steal Joseph's, is people. I've said it many times. Some people are so negative, if you put them in a dark room, they develop. Some people just see life. And let me tell you, that seems to be a little bit of the spirit of the world right now. And no doubt, people, if you let them, will try to steal your dream. Remember, when the Bible says that Joseph had this dream and the brothers hated him, and even his own father rebuked him, and his father was no small man in the size of the kingdom of God, he says to Joseph, "Hey, go find your brothers." And he finds out that his brothers are at a place called Dothan. Now, you and I read that and we think, so what? Dothan. But Dothan in the Hebrew means two wells. Literally, what it means is double blessing. Now, you got to realize Joseph's a dreamer. He's got this dream. He's going to be this great leader in the world that God's going to use him powerfully. And now his dad sends him to double blessing. Could you imagine how excited he was? He's going, "I'm on my way for misery to happy." How many of you got that? How many of you understood what that was? And then he starts singing, "And I would walk 500 miles, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, I'm on my way for misery to happy." How many have no idea what I'm doing right now? Praise the Lord. How many of you understand? Sometimes you just say something for a few. Praise the Lord. How many got that? Okay. And so he goes to Dothan, which means two wells. Now think about it. He's been sent by his dad to a double blessing. That's like you and I. We get a dream and we start pursuing our dream and we think, man, when I get into my ministry, what God's called me to do, when I start that business, when I marry her or I marry him, man, blessing. And then when he gets there, the wells are dry and his brothers go, "Here comes the dreamer. Let's throw him in the well and kill him." What he thought was going to be a double blessing became his prison. You think to yourself, if I just marry him, then I'll be happy. But then you find out you married Freddy Krueger. If I can just get into that ministry, if I could just work in that company, if I could just get to this point of financial stability. Come on, somebody. If I can just achieve this level of success, oh man, that'll be awesome. Let me tell you, people will try to steal your dream. Here comes the dreamer. Put him in the well. But you can't keep a good man down. The youngest brother, I think his name was Reuben, finally had a conscience and said, no, we should make some money out of this. Let's not kill him. Let's sell him as a slave. And so he gets sold off as a slave. I got to tell you, when you got a dream, you'll keep rising. Something about you will keep rising, and people could not steal his dream. Think about Joseph. He gets sold off as a slave to Potiphar's house. Now, when you're the new slave, you're the Johnny come lately. So when you're the Johnny come lately, you get all the jobs that all the other slaves don't want to do anymore because you're the new kid on the block. But Joseph didn't just start singing the blues. He didn't just sit there and go, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows." He didn't go, "What happened to the dream?" No. He wouldn't let people steal his dream. He said, "You know what? God's given me a vision. God's given me a dream that one day I'm going to be a powerful leader. So if right now being a slave is what God's put in front of me, I'll be the best slave they've ever seen. I'll be the best employee. I'll be the best slave. I'll be so good that the Bible says he was so good at what he did that Potiphar put him in charge of everything." Can I just say this to you? Right now, maybe you're just flipping burgers at McDonald's. Can I tell you something? Don't be standing there going, "This can't be all there is for me." If you're flipping burgers for McDonald's, then you should be the best burger flipper that ever flipping well existed. And you ought to flip burgers for the flipping glory of God. And God will flipping well promote you if you flip burgers. Understanding this is not the end, but you're on your way. Come on online. Come on, somebody. Don't get stuck in the moment. Have the dream. You see, my friend, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the dream. And some people, all they can see anymore is the obstacles because they've taken their eye off the dream. This is my friend. His name's Robert Cameron. He's one of my best friends in all the world, without a doubt. And I've known this man for over 22 years. And I've got to tell you, if by any miracle, President Trump, while he still is president at least, rang Robert up and said, "Robert, all you got to do is make it up to Washington, D.C. You got 4 hours to get here and I will give you $1 million. How many know Robert is not waiting for this service to end? Robert would know that I perhaps would not be happy he walked out in the middle of my sermon, but he would also know that if he gets up there within 4 hours, I will be grateful for the tithe of $100,000. I just had to put that in there, Rob. And so he imagined it now. Imagine if that, so you understand, the size of the dream is big. You with me here? It's great. $1 million. How many would make it to DC in 4 hours for $1 million? Can I see? If you don't have your hands raised, I don't know how to motivate you. How many would think it'd be worthwhile? I mean, seriously, I mean, what would it take some of you to get out of here and get going? And so he's on his way, but he gets to Hampton, and all of a sudden, obstacle. He gets a flat tire. What does he do? He changes the tire. He doesn't go, "Can't be God's will. God doesn't want me to go." No. The size of the dream, this is an obstacle. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eye off the dream. The dream's bigger. So he goes in and now he gets to Richmond. He's at the 295. He gets another flat tire. The problem is he doesn't have another spare. What does he do? I know this man. He would steal a car to go to DC. I mean, you'd hitchhike. You'd do anything, wouldn't you, Rob? You'd be thumbs up, Uber, praise. You could afford the Uber after you got there. Are you hearing me? Why? Because of the size of the dream. And I've come to tell somebody this morning, get your eye off the obstacle and put the eye back on the dream. And the dream that God has for you is great. And don't let people steal your dream. Now, of course, Joseph is living out his dream and he becomes in charge of Potiphar's house. Potiphar put him in charge of everything. And then one day, this is before Sex and the City, this is before Desperate Housewives, Potiphar's wife goes, "That young man looks mighty fine." And she goes, "Come over here, let's get it on." And so he goes, no, I ain't touching you. The only thing my master has not put me in charge or allowed me to touch is you. I ain't touching you. His morality and his integrity is tested. And he runs, which is what you're supposed to do from temptation, flee. But she grabs his coat and she now is embarrassed and humiliated because she didn't make Desperate Housewives. She didn't know that we'd still be talking about this dirty old woman 22,000 years later. And so she cries rape and he gets put in prison for something he didn't do. People, if you let them, will try to steal your dream. But here's the second thing that'll try and steal your dream. Life, if you let it, will try to steal your dream. How many know that's true? How many know, come on now, listen, online, look at me now, that actually bad things happen to good people? How many know that? I mean, just live long enough, you'll see it. bad things can and do happen. That's why the Bible says God works good in all things. Doesn't say everything that happens to you is good, but God can work good in and through it. Amen. And so I want to say to you, life will try to steal your dream. Think about Joseph. Here he is. He's now in prison. He's done nothing wrong. All he's had is a dream. And he doesn't sit there and start singing the blues. Nobody. I mean, maybe the first. No, no. You know what he does? God's given me this dream. I'm going to be this leader. And right now, the size of his leadership influence is the size of his prison cell. Well, he's already learned how to be a good cleaner being a slave in Potiphar's house, so he's going to at least clean the area that he's in control of. He starts cleaning, and maybe the prison, this is my imagination going for a moment, but the warden walks past and goes, oh, a bit of a daddy's boy, are we? Don't we like a dirty prison cell? Well, I tell you what, Joseph, you're not just going to clean your prison cell. I'm going to get you to clean the whole wing. Well, Joseph thinks to himself, awesome. The size of my leadership influence is already growing. Look what God's putting me in charge of now. See, Joseph did not demand leadership. He created the demand for his leadership. There's a big difference from someone coming in the church. Give me the microphone. I want to preach. Who are you? What have you done? Come on, versus someone who's faithfully serving, is recognized with integrity, proven track record, that create a demand for their leadership. Look at this man. It took God to get him to speak in our church. Are you hearing me? And then I said to him, by the way, I want you to do this in Richmond. He goes, well, if you really feel like it's God, I said, then it's settled. You are speaking. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me? You don't demand leadership. At work, you create a demand for your leadership. You are so good at what you do at Flippin' Burgers. You're so good at what you do that God will do the promoting. And you don't let people and you don't let life steal your dream. Here's the last one. How many want the last one? Praise the Lord. Come on, how many want the last one? Let me see your hand if you want the last one. Online, thumbs up if you want the last one. Otherwise, we'll just cut the feed now. All right? Come on, do you want the last one? Hey, if people doesn't steal it and if life doesn't steal it, bad things happen to good people. It's what you do with those things. It's how you handle those things. Joseph interpreted one man's dream and the man forgot about him. Years later, 18 years later, from the time that God gave him the dream to the time the dream came to pass. I got to tell you, a dream's worth waiting for. Amen. And if you think you can achieve that dream in your lifetime without God, it is not a God-sized dream. Are you hearing me? I mean, if your biggest dream was to get out of bed this morning, you didn't need God to fulfill that dream. But you want a dream, you've got to have a God-sized dream that is something you couldn't achieve in your lifetime. Here's the third point. You ready for it? Okay, you don't want it? We'll just finish now. Are you ready for it? All right, let's see. We don't vote in this church, but let's vote on this. How many want to hear the third point? How many want me to stop right now? We just call it a day. Let me see your hand. Praise the Lord. Okay, you ready for it? Here's the third point. Somebody raise their hand. Okay, listen, it was my wife. It wasn't really. It was Lachlan, my grandson. Time. Time will steal your dream. If people don't do it, and if life doesn't do it, time sure will. Look at this guy, 18 years. And he's in a prison, and he's forgotten about. He interprets this dream of these two men. And one interpretation of the dream was, you're a dead man, sorry, it's all over. But the other guy, he said, hey, when you get out of here, would you remember me? Joseph never forgot his dream. Do you realize that the only way in which Joseph's dream came to pass, some of us need to hear this who are more egotistical. The only way that Joseph's dream came to pass was by interpreting another man's dream. Don't make life all about you. Don't be that person that says, that's enough about me, let's talk about you. What do you think about me? Don't be that person. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Amen. Sorry if your name's Jimmy, by the way. I've often felt sorry for anyone whose name is Jimmy. Don't be that person. See, Joseph's dream came to pass by interpreting someone else's dream. And then this person is actually serving back under Pharaoh. And Pharaoh has a dream and Pharaoh can't figure out what the dream is. And nobody in Pharaoh's world can interpret it. And this person goes, oh, I remember back in prison, I met this guy who interpreted my dream. He was pretty good. And then all of a sudden, he's put before Pharaoh and he interprets the dream. 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows. This is an ad for Chick-fil-A. Eat more chicken. You with me here? And so he then gets put in charge of the known world. Think about it. He was the financial controller of the, what was then the world's wealth and distribution of food that saved the world from a famine where even Joseph's brothers come before him, but they don't know it's Joseph and they're begging for food. There, my friends, there's the fulfillment of the dream. And then Joseph goes, guys, it's me, it's Joey. They're freaking out. We sold him off as a slave and we're bowing before, second only to Pharaoh, for food. Could you imagine what they thought? He's going to kill us. And I love Joseph. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get mean. He didn't get ugly. He didn't get vindictive. I mean, just look at the world today and that's what the world is. He goes, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Thank you. You brought about the fulfillment of my dream. So here's the close. Luke chapter 1. Watch this. Give me. Yeah, I love this. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest whose name was Zechariah. Everybody say Zechariah. He was of the division of Abijah. That's a whole story in and of itself I won't go into. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Well, that's a pretty good lineage. And her name was Elizabeth. So we got Zach and we got Liz. Can we say Zach and Liz? Now, think about this. I mean, think about this. Robert, Margaret, just for a moment. It says, could you imagine this being said about you in the Bible about your marriage? They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord blamelessly. Could you imagine that God would allow that to be written about a couple and be put in his word? I mean, Margaret, I believe it of you, but Robert, he'd steal a car. Not really. He just might. I mean, that's big. And it says not only were they both righteous before God, walking all the commands and all the ordinances of the Lord, but it says, listen to this, and Elizabeth was barren. And then it says, and they were both well stricken in years. Imagine walking up to somebody and go, my, you're well stricken in years. Not the greatest compliment you'd ever get. And Elizabeth is barren. Now listen to what it says. And it came to pass, I've memorized it, that while he executed the priest's office before God in order of the course, according to the custom, it was his lot to burn incense. Can you hear that? Both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blamelessly. I mean, they were color coordinated. They registered online as to what service they were going to go to. Hint, hint. They were socially distancing. They wore masks. They sanitized. They washed their hands. They were blameless. You couldn't point a finger at them. And it came to pass that while he, Zechariah the priest of the division of Abijah, was executing the priest's office. In other words, and the Bible says they're both well stricken in years. He's been doing this for a long time. Everybody hear this? Listen, think about it. According to the custom, it was his lot to burn incense. When was then? After he'd done all this for a long time. An angel appears. Fear not! Angels say that because it usually freaks the living daylights out of you when an angel appears. Some people say, I just saw an angel. I go, no, you didn't. How do you know? Because you'd be freaking out if you saw one. Because every time an angel appeared in the Bible, they always freaked out. The first two words of every angel that comes out of the mouth is fear not. Come on, somebody. You might need to change your clothes if you've seen an angel. I'm just saying. Are you hearing me? It's not an everyday occurrence. Fear not! God, listen to what he said, has heard your prayers. This man's been praying for something. What was he praying for? You'll have a son and he will be great And he will go in the power and the spirit of that of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers toward the sons and the sons toward the fathers. And he shall make a people pretty, ready and prepared for the Messiah and the Son of God, the one that was spoken about in Genesis 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the devil, and he will redeem all mankind for all sins once and for all. But none of this can happen until you have a son, and he comes first, and his name shall be John. And do you know what Zechariah says? Verse 18, whereby can I know this? I'm an old man. And let's be honest, look at her. She's well stricken in years. And she's barren, even if she was not, even if she just was old. She couldn't even have children when she was younger. Remember the angel said, listen, God has heard your prayers. He's still executing the priest's office before God in order, of course, according to the custom. But time stole his dream. Some of you, time stole your dream. And I've come to say, get your dream back. Don't let time steal your dream. Don't let life steal your dream. Don't let people steal your dream. Get your dream back. We need dreamers. We need people who believe that God is with you and God is for you and God has a plan. And there's, can I tell you, we need people who are going to be the head, not the tail. We need people who are filled with a God-sized dream. Can you imagine this? The guy says, I don't believe you. Gabriel looks up to heaven. God, you sure it's him? He doesn't believe me. What would you do? Now, Gabriel, just remember, let me just go back. The Bible says Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. And the Bible says, listen to this now, my grandson is looking at me like total mesmerized. And it says here, I got totally distracted. Sorry, if you saw me smile, it's because I'm looking at him. You are the most handsome little boy. You look just like your grandfather. Praise the Lord. Gabriel goes to God and says, God, when do I get to go to bring this good news? And God says, Gabe, I just made Adam. Go play some golf. And he goes, oh. And say, hey, God, is it time? Hey, Gabe, I'm just flooding the earth. Can you just take, can you go surfing? You know, and God, is it time? Is it now? Is it time? He knows this will bring the Messiah. He knows everything changes. God, is it time? Gabriel, we're up to David. Listen, look at me, Gabriel. Just chill, man. I'll call you. Oh. And then Gabriel's off in the distance, and all of a sudden he hears this. Watch.
Gabriel.
Now?
Now.
I don't know if angels have wings, but if they do, I think he tucked his back. And I think he went, a celestial being that stands in the presence of the Almighty God that goes from heaven to earth in a millisecond, and he stands, he's bouncing through the powers of darkness. He's coming against every force of evil. He's then sent to bring good news that the Messiah, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, it's all going to change. Fear not. I think at this point, this is where Gabriel became a New York angel. Yo, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God Almighty. I've been sent to give you good news. And you don't believe me? Behold, you shall be dumb, as if he wasn't already. Not able to speak. Listen to what it says. Look at this. Because if we have it up there, you didn't believe my words. Do you know what that tells me? He's a good man. He's executing the priest's office before God in order, of course, according to the custom. But he doesn't have faith anymore. He prayed for this, but he forgot what he prayed for. Time stole his dream. Can I pray for you this morning? if this message speaks to you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that we go into 2021 with a God-sized dream. I don't want people to steal your dream. Boy, I've sure had my fair share of that, people trying to steal my dream. I've had my fair share of life trying to steal my dream. I've had my fair share of time trying to steal my dream. And I believe even in this season of COVID, that this is the church's best days. I believe with all my heart that God's going to build His church and the gates of hell shall not, cannot prevail against it. But what matters to me is we have a church of dreamers. We don't go walking around like the world, you know, depending on what side of the fence we sit as to what our view on life is. My view is God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He will supply all my needs according to His riches and His glory. And God is good. The devil is bad. God has a plan for my life. God loves the church. I'm a part of the church. And I'm going to be a force to be reckoned with. And hell hasn't seen anything yet. I'm a part of the one thing that hell cannot, shall not prevail against it. It's not a time to jump ship. It's not a time to just hold back and slow down. It's a time to dream bigger dreams than we've ever dreamed before. And I'm not going to let life or people or time steal. Can anybody get excited? Can anybody? Let the word of God stir you today. Dream on. Dream. Get around a dreamer. Can I pray for you? If that message spoke to you, I'm talking to the church. Can I pray for you? Everybody and everybody online, just for a moment, close your eyes. And friends in this building and at Seaboard and at Greenville, you're online. If that message spoke to you and you want prayer, lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for. I want to know who I'm praying for. Father, you see every hand that's raised. And I'm asking you, God, today, help us to dream. Help us, Father, to not allow people, life or time, steal the dream that God, you put in our hearts in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I've asked my son, Josh, to come to call people to a point of faith that is very hard to look into those lights. So I'm asking Josh to just give everybody online, everybody here and everybody at Seaboard Road an opportunity. Who's believing today people are going to give their life to Jesus? Come on.
Come on, church. Let me thank Pastor Steve for that word this morning. It's the first time I've heard of an angel having a New York accent. Everybody in our in-person here at Great Neck, everybody watching online in our Greenville campus, we're going to hand back to our Seaboard campus right now. But I'm going to ask every Christian that is in the room, maybe in your living room watching online, if you could lean in this moment, the most important part of this service today, the reason why we exist as a church. You know, one of the reasons I love that message is it reminds me that we are not here by accident. We don't just exist, but that God created you with a plan and a purpose for your life, to have a dream, to dream. It's no coincidence, no accident that you're sitting in this room today, that you're watching online. And friend, I wonder this morning, do you know the plan and the purpose that God has for your life? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus at this time of Christmas? We're reminded of this amazing gospel that we proclaim, that we believe that God, catch this, God so loves you. He saw that a broken, fallen humanity, we could not get ourselves together. That He gave everything that He could give in His Son, Jesus. This Christmas season, we know the story where Jesus is born in a manger, grew up to live the perfect life that you and I could never live, fully man, fully God. Jesus went to the cross that you and I were meant to be on. He took our place. 3 days later, raising from the dead, defeating the devil, defeating sin, defeating who we used to be. So catch this, friend, whoever you are, wherever you're seated, so that we could come before Him just as we are, in our sin, our shame, our mess. We could come before Him just as we are. You don't need to pretend like you have it all together. You don't need to wear a mask. Jesus sees you in your sin and your mess, and He says, I still love you. I got a plan and a purpose for your life. Friend, do you know Him? My question this morning is not, do you go to church? Not, do you believe in God? The devil believes in God, but have you had a life-changing encounter with Jesus today? I can think of no better time than this weekend right before Christmas than for you to give your life to Jesus. And I'm gonna ask with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're a Christian in this room, can we pray like eternity matters? Because it does. Here at Great Neck and everybody online, come on, let's pray. Let's stir our faith right now. And if you're in this room, say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. Already online, five people have clicked the button to give their lives to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We're gonna believe for more. If you're in this room, say, Josh, that's me. I'm gonna count to three. When I count to three, I'm gonna ask you, if that's you, to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. And once I've seen it, you can put it right back down. But if that's you in this room, say, Josh, that's me. One. You need to give your life to Jesus. You're done trying to live this life on your own. Maybe you have been dreaming, and maybe by the world's standards, your life looks successful. But if you're being honest, you know that your soul is still empty, still unsatisfied. Friend, that satisfaction, that void is only filled by your Savior Jesus. Two, if you're in this room today, and if you're being honest with yourself, you know that you've walked away from Him. You're backslidden. The good news is that God is not angry. God is not mad. In fact, He is here today. There's already a hand right there, and He's smiling, saying, welcome home again. We serve the God of as many chances as we need. Three, if that's you in this place, lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Another hand right there, another hand right there, another hand right there. Anybody else? Another three hands right there, another hand back there. Anybody else, once I've seen it? Come on, church, let's continue to pray. Once I've seen it, you can put it back down. A Greenville campus, everybody watching online. If that's you, click that button here in person. Anybody else, just raise your hand high enough and long, another hand right there, long enough for me to see it. I'm just gonna wait a moment longer because you matter. This moment is way too important. Friend, don't leave this service today without knowing that your eternity is in heaven, without discovering the plan and purpose, the dream that God has for your life. Nobody's too young, nobody's too old. Nobody's too bad, nobody's too good. We are all in need of a Savior. Anybody else? I'm just gonna wait one more moment longer. I really feel the Holy Spirit, maybe there's one or two more. Anybody else? Say, Josh, I see your hand right there. Amen. Church, can we lift our eyes together here and online? Can we give the loudest shout of praise? Come on, Wave Church. I know that we've made noise this morning, but can we give the loudest shout of praise that we've given all morning? Amen. If you made that decision here in person, everybody online, we're going to say a prayer together as a church, a prayer that changes everything. It may not change everything out there, but it changes everything in here where it really matters. We're going to say this prayer together. Can we say it together, church? Come on, can we say it together? Let's pray. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, forgiving me of my sins, raising from the dead, giving me a hope and a future. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian. I'm going to live for you. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.